Guess what? I can keep her up here. And if we shout loud enough, she'll be the speaker this evening. Are you ready to shout? Yeah. Lindy!
I became famous back in the 1920s in Harlem. Yeah, really. I was a fusion of many forms that preceded me or were popular during its development, but mainly based on a few that we would recognize. It is frequently described as a something and is a member of the something family. Who am I?
Lindy.
Good answer. Half right. The Lindy Hop.
Yeah.
It's an American dance that evolved in Harlem in the 20s and 30s and originally evolved with the jazz music of that time. It was based mainly on jazz, tap, breakaway, and Charleston. It is frequently described as a jazz dance and is a member of the swing dance family. I'm a member of the swing dance family. You believe that?
Yes.
Sure. Because you swing.
But how far can you travel when you're 6 feet underground? In its development, the Lindy Hop combined elements of both partnered and solo dancing. This is Wikipedia, by the way, in case you thought I was making this up. Somebody else made it up for me.
Yeah.
It combined elements of both partnered and solo dancing by using the movements and improvisation of black dances along with the formal eight-count structure of European partner dances. This is most clearly illustrated in the Lindy's basic step, the swing out. That's my basic step, the swing out. Keep that in mind. Each dancer is generally connected hand to hand in this swing out open position, like this. Or this, but not like this. This is the closed position. Now I'll talk about this later, but I'm in the closed position in my emotional life most of the time. But when I'm swinging out, I'm happiest. So that's the Lindy Hop. A gnome is in the garden busily destroying some bushes when a house cat appears. What are you, says the cat. A gnome, comes the reply. I steal food from humans, I kill their plants, I make annoying music at night to drive them crazy, and I love mischief. And what, may I ask, are you? I'm a gnome, said the cat. This is simply a question of identity. Who is the cat? Who is the gnome? Who am I? What is Lindy anyway? I was, as you know, talking about topics a week ago, and someone said, why don't you just talk about yourself, Lindy? Which suited me just fine because it required less preparation than anything I could think of. But it is true that it's been several years since I told my story in this venue, and so I thought I'd tell you some of it. There's more to it than there was the last time I talked about it. But I have always lived in question of my own identity, or not always, but for the greater portion of my life, I lived in question of my own identity. Take Transformers, for example. This is for you, Christina. Do Transformers get car or life insurance? Things that make you go, They have an identity crisis. They don't know. They have to get both. The agents make out. One man says to another, my girlfriend has a twin. Second man says, does that make it hard to tell them apart? First man says, no, he has a beard. And then special memory to those two nuns who gave us such wonderful songs as the Prayer of St. Francis. A drunk guy is walking down the street. He sees this nun, runs up to her, knocks her over, and says, you don't feel so strong now, do you, Batman? better save some of this laughter for later, because we might not think my life is so funny. One last one. Buckwheat of the Little Rascals. How many of us remember Buckwheat?
Oh, I love Buckwheat.
Some of you are lying. Buckwheat grew up, became a Muslim, and changed his name. He's now called Kareem of Wheat. Now you know why you come on Wednesday night. Because it's way funnier than Sunday, usually. Once upon a time, so my story goes, now that we've gotten the introduction out of the way, once upon a time, there was a young female entity on a planet beyond Betelgeuse, second star to the right and straight on till morning. And her planet, young people were asked for volunteers to come to this extremely distant, far, far away place called Earth, to teach people how to love themselves and each other so that they could survive the 21st century. And of course, this young person, being, as she thought, heroic and courageous, by the way, she didn't know anything, volunteered. And away she went to be born into a human body on Earth. Now, on home, her original planet, everybody was a body of light, and they all loved each other and knew what that meant and did it instinctively. There was no training required. On Earth, they have bodies of flesh, and they don't know how to love themselves, much less each other. And let's call her LH, Lindy Hop, when she came to Earth, she, being born into that physical body, caused her to forget her mission. And worse than that, it caused her to forget how to do it if she remembered what it was. So not only did she not remember she was supposed to teach people how to love themselves and each other, she couldn't remember how to do it. Oh boy, is that a double whammy or not? So anyway, for most of her life, such as it is, she felt separate. She felt like she was from another planet. She felt apart, isolated, and separate. Now, the truth is, if you were observing from a distance, not too far of a distance, you would see that she was wrong. She was always a part of a group. Sometimes it was the developmentally delayed group, but there was nothing wrong with that. Those are really nice people. And yet she didn't know that. And she had forgotten, as we have already established, that she knew how to love herself. She'd forgotten that. So she trudged on, having adventures, because adventures were what gave life spice when there were no intimate relationships. She kept her arms crossed like this in a closed posture. When she was dancing, she danced by herself like this. That's pathetic, isn't it? Well, she wasn't pathetic. She was just life-challenged. And she went to world premieres of operas and Super Bowls and Kentucky Derbies and World Series and All-Star Games and lots of adventures. Eventually, toward more recently, she completed a 50-state project, visiting all 50 states in the United States, and traveling around by herself in a Dodge van for 9 months to see most of those states. People said she was crazy. And that was the fun part. She was crazy, but, as my mother always used to say, you don't have to be crazy, but it helps. Now, I grew up in church. My mother was a devout, Lindy, that is LH, grew up in church. Her mother was a devout Episcopalian. And Lindy liked going to church. She had a really close relationship with what felt like God. And it felt like it was only in the building, but it was there all the time. And in the building, she felt connected to the elders on her home planet and to her mission and to her life that she wasn't living yet. Later, she realized she didn't exactly believe what the Episcopalians believe, but that was okay. They brought her up in innocence and loving God and all the good things about religion that they don't have to give us, but some of them do. She grew up in the country. Now, not the country like Millie grew up in. It didn't have any trees. It was the oil fields. And I mean the heart of the oil fields in Kern County. The original discovery well of California was about 2 miles as the crow flies from the house I lived in, which belonged to Chevron, then Standard Oil of California. I keep forgetting my pronoun, so go with me here. She and I are the same. Anyway, there was nothing out there but rabbits and cattails and sagebrush, tumbleweeds, and gullies, and half-filled oiled sumps, and something called jack lines. Now, jack lines are commemorated in the Oil Field Museum in Taft, California. If you really want a thrill, check out a jack line. These were little stations placed about every mile with cables running out from them that went to the wells. And now we've all seen the grasshoppers, the oil wells, somewhere in the United States of America. You've all driven by and seen one of those things that's going like this all the time. Looks like a grasshopper. This was before grasshoppers. They had wells, and the wells pumped like this, but their ability to go up and down was not electrical as it is today, or a gas engine or whatever. It was based on the jack line, which had about a foot and a half inch throw on the motor in the middle, and it would spin this way and go, the cables would go a foot and a half out, and it would spin this way and the cables would go a foot and a half back. And that was the life of a jack line. The cables were called jack lines, and they went a foot and a half in either direction at about this pace. And there was creaking all over the country. You couldn't sleep through the creaking of a jack line unless you'd grown up there. People used to get crazy. Well, that might have had nothing to do with the jack lines, actually. But my identity was formed in the absence of humanity, mostly, which was sort of a good thing. I mean, if you look at John the Baptist in the Bible, and Hillbilly Millie over here is our two prime examples of being born in a vacuum. It's a good thing. I was chosen to be a foreign exchange student when I was 17. I went to New Zealand for 8 months, which wasn't a whole year of theirs, and I didn't miss a whole year of ours either, so I didn't feel complete anywhere. My favorite story about New Zealand is when I took the chemistry final. I had a speech to give because I was the field scholar, what they call their exchange students. And so I missed half of the exam in chemistry, the final exam in chemistry. So the professor and I agreed that he would double my score for whatever I got. He would double it because I missed half the time, which meant I got twice as much as I earned, which meant I got twice as much as I knew, because I didn't have a clue, one more answer. I wouldn't have had it if he'd given me all day. So I passed chemistry because I had a speech to give. It was that simple. And I played field hockey, and I lettered in field hockey, but I wasn't there to receive my letter because that was at the end of the school year and I left in the middle. So even knowing who I was, I still had problems with identity. I thought of myself as a doorknob. Doorknob, yeah, like I had the personality of a doorknob. And I thought of myself as the doormat, like I had the will of a doormat. And I wasn't very happy with myself, but I knew I had big things in store for me, not realizing then that the big things are happening even as I speak. To me, being up here behind this lectern, talking to all of you is a big thing. because I love doing it. It's my happy place. And as soon as I found this place, I knew that eventually I'd remember what I was here to do, because it has to do with reaching out to people and showing them the way. So the Bible talks about identity as your identity in Christ. And in Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1-6, so get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Like newborn babies, we must crave pure spiritual milk so that we will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. Our identity is being good, giving up deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and unkindness. I didn't read the Bible much when I was a kid. In fact, I didn't read the Bible at all. I saw the movies. You know, The Robe, The Ten Commandments, The Book of Ruth. I loved biblical movies. They spoke to my epic imagination. Peter 2:4 goes on, you are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. Now that speaks to me, because I felt like I had been rejected by people too, but that I had been chosen by God for great honor. Peter says, and you are the living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. We are cornerstones of God's temple. We are living stones that are built into the spiritual temple, and we are holy priests. Holy priest, Batman. So a comedian named Emo Phillips says, when I was a kid, I used to pray every night for a new bike. Then I realized the Lord doesn't work that way, so I just stole one and asked him to forgive me. Holy priests indeed. Mm-hmm. So here I am at the Wailing Wall, standing there like a moron with my harpoon. Yeah, I love that one, because it's so unexpected, and you have to think about it. When I was a kid, my dad would say, Emo, do you believe in the Lord? I'd say, yes. He'd say, then stand up and shout hallelujah. So I did, and I fell out of the roller coaster. I'm really working on a theme tonight. In a book called Here and Now, Living in the Spirit by Henry Nguyen, which if I'd have known it was so good, I would have bought it, because all these quotes are from Henry Nguyen's book, Here and Now, Living in the Spirit, The Ones to Come. Jesus said, let go of your complaints. Forgive those who loved you poorly. Step over your feelings of being rejected and have the courage to trust that you won't fall into an abyss of nothingness, but into the safe embrace of a God whose love will heal all your wounds. That's what happened to me. I tripped on a step up and landed in this church, and I've been thanking God and Millie ever since. I hadn't been in despair for the bigger part of my life, but I'd been in wounded and numb. Henry Nguyen again. We have to keep asking ourselves, what does it all mean? What is God trying to tell us? How are we called to live in the midst of all this? Without such questions, our lives become numb and flat. Or even if you ask the questions and don't get any answers, your life becomes numb and flat. Jesus came to announce to us that an identity based on success, popularity, and power is a false identity, an illusion. Loudly and clearly, he says, you are not what the world makes you, but you are children of God. If you don't get anything out of this talk other than that, remember that. You are not what the world makes you. You are a child of God. And you can remember a joke or two along the way, and that's okay. To the degree that we embrace the truth that our identity is not rooted in our success, power, or popularity, but in God's infinite love, to that degree can we let go of our need to judge. And it wasn't that the gospel proved useful for my many worries, but that the gospel proved the uselessness of my worries and so refocused my whole attention. I used to worry a lot. And as this says, God proved the worthlessness of my worries and allowed me to refocus my attention on that which would pay off. Pay off in my identity in Christ. And finally, death is not the total dissolution of our identity, but the way to its fullest revelation. Well, I got us to this church. I told you a little bit about my background as I came from the other planet, as I struggled with being separate on Earth, where I had never been separate at home. And as I found this church and my identity as a spiritualist, I've been blessed to say that spiritualism feels like the God of the church I grew up in. It feels like it's a bathwater that I just sink into, the same temperature as my body, and therefore I don't recognize that I'm in the water. Sometimes the urge comes to throw the water out, but then I know that I, the baby, would be going with it. So I don't do that. I give thanks for all of you in my life. And one of these days, I'll learn enough about teaching myself to love myself that I can teach some of you to do likewise. Emo Phillips wrote what is called the best joke ever about religion in some country, I think England. Oh, that was another good one. Okay. Anyway, here goes this best joke ever about religion in England. Once I saw this guy on a bridge about to jump. I said, "Don't do it." He said, "Nobody loves me." I said, "God loves me. Do you believe in God?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Are you a Christian or a Jew?" He said, "A Christian." I said, "Me too. Are you Protestant or Catholic?" "Protestant." I said, "Me too." "What franchise?" He said, "Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern or Southern Baptist?" He said, "Northern." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist." I said, "Me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern region?" He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region." I said, "Me too." "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region Council of 1912? He said, "Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes region of 1912. I said, "Die, heretic," and I pushed him off. Thank you, Emo. Suffice it to say that we all have our stories. Some of us may or may not believe we were born on another planet, or maybe it's just a myth that I choose to use as a metaphor for my life. Only in-depth knowledge of me and my beliefs will tell you that truth. And to get to that, you'll have to get through this. But I have opened up quite a lot in my 20-odd years, some more odd than others, in the church. And I look forward to opening up even more as time goes on. My identity has been and always will be Lindy, hopping around Windy Lindy, speaking her mind. And Linda, who's the Linda is the woman whose mother named her Linda. And any name ending in duh can't be all good. But she had a terrific career. She worked 40 odd years in the information technology industry and retired 3 months ago or 4 months ago or 5 months ago, however long it's been. It seems like forever. It seems like I never worked before. And she's, I'm grateful for that career. So if you would, keep Janie and Jonathan and Linda and Bill and Millie and all those people in our prayers. And add me every now and then, because I'm still looking for my true identity as a child of God. I know. I just can't remember it all the time. There is one more joke, if you can stand it. I don't intend to offend anybody, but I'm probably going to. A Mormon told me that they don't drink coffee. I said a cup of coffee every day gives you wonderful benefits. He said, like what? I said, well, it keeps you from being a Mormon. Thank you. Someone else.